Austin, Texas. Harmontown is now officially in session. Thank you so much for coming out. Day two of the Harmontown tour. Please put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Holy shit! Holy shit! Holy shit! Big room full of amazing people. Holy shit, amazing. Thank you. You're applauding yourselves, you sons of bitches. God damn it, we're never leaving this city. We had a great time in Phoenix. We learned some painful lessons, mostly about myself. There were good people in Phoenix. I made a complete ass of myself going out there. They loved me, and I flung myself under the sharpened rocks of my own self-hatred. And like in a regular show, like a comic could come out and go like, "Hey, knock knock, who's there? Your mom's here with that." And then there'd be a guy in the audience that go like, "You suck," you know. And that's the dynamic, is like, that's what a heckler is or whatever. Like it's completely inverted with me because I have no act, and then I come up and I go like, "Oh, I'm a bad person," and then people in the audience go, "You're doing fine.
We love you.
We love you." Season two of Community made me cry. just keep going. And I start going, fuck you, pal. What do you know?
Yeah, Dan actually started heckling the audience's love.
I really did. And it was, the show in Phoenix went fine, but I learned my lesson. It was like, you know what? Let's accept some love as we go out here on the road. Because the automatic thought was like, well, we live in Los Angeles and we live in the back of a comic book store. We do the show. And now we're going on the road. So your automatic thought is, my mom's out there, you know, like she's somewhere out there. These are different people. Like they're gonna judge me, or like the crowds are gonna be filled with people who are like, let's go see some comedy tonight, honey. Who's this guy? What's he doing? But you all listen to the podcast, right? So we're fine. We're fine. And my only job is to pretend that we're in Los Angeles at Harmontown.
I think what we found last night, to our surprise, and I think what we're going to find as we go, is that the people that come to the show are going to resemble our hometown crowd
pretty
quite a bit.
Much. It's they're all, they look a lot like. I walk in the door in Austin or Phoenix, and the guy I make eye contact with, who's holding the thing for me to sign, is the same guy as in Los Angeles. Like, he might look like he could kick my ass. He might have tattoos. He might have glasses. He might be short. He might be fat. He might be thin. But there's that misfit quality. And then our eyes meet across the room. It happened with some guy. I think his name was Jesse or something. It was the first guy I came in the door. And there was a guy who was like, "Hey," kind of waved at me like I worked with him. And I was like, "Yeah, hey." And I knew, I don't work with you, but it's like the different patterns of facial hair and the lovely, wonderful, wonderful, an army of nerds. I love it. Like, just showering me with love, and all I can do is fuck it up. All right, I'm tail spinning. I'm gonna fuck it up.
You know, it's amazing, Dan. The first time I think that you met Charlie Kaufman. You guys know the writer Charlie Kaufman, And Harmon, Charlie came to like a screening of, it was a community thing, it was a Christmas thing, I think. And Charlie came and they met, and Dan obviously really wanted to meet Charlie, and I think Charlie was like happy to meet you. And they had this great conversation. They talked all day, but you never saw less eye contact in a conversation. There was just two guys in the same plaid shirt staring at their own shoes.
There's a mannerism. Those are my people. That's my people. Like we feel more than we can handle. We love each other. Oh, but speaking of feeling things and apologizing for things, I this was almost Kettle One, but then I remembered where we were. So this is Tito's.
Tito's.
Fucking Tito's. One of the.
Can I make you one? You want one?
Yes, please. Thank you. One of the 85,000 great things about Texas, they have a grassroots homemade vodka called Tito's that is delicious. It's too delicious.
Wait, my friend Ray Pruitt, who's here tonight, if I'm not mistaken. Ray, you know Tito, don't you? Haven't you met him?
Is Ray here?
You met him, yeah.
I met him.
Like, when Tito started making Tito's Vodka, it was just him in a garage making this on his own, right?
Well, that's the story I told you.
This is a weird... It's pitch black back there. I don't know. And I don't know what the mics are picking up, but... But as the story goes, Tito's Vodka is made by a human being and not a corporation. And now it's a corporation. But it's every bit as delicious as Kettle One, who did not sponsor our tour. And we nearly had a bottle of Kettle One up here. But fuck those guys. It's Tito's all the way. It feels a little weird drinking out of a soda glass. But
Kettle One is kind of the Nike of, of vodkas. Kettle One, the racist vodka.
You hear that, you fuckers?
You fuckers had a chance.
Yeah.
We were going to put a big sticker on the side of our bus and make our bus like shaped like a Kettle One bottle.
Yeah, we would have done anything.
Until we found out about that racial stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Kettle One, sitting on Nazi gold since 1945. And also making vodka. Yeah. I guess that's their new racket. Yeah. But those in the know,
Kettle One, baby rapers.
Kettle One, more like Kettle Two.
Meaning we pooped in it, you fuckers.
Yeah. Kettle One, fuck it. Here's another fantastic, the 800 reasons to be glad we're in Texas. Texas, I hate to play favorites. I'm from California, I love California. California and Texas are—they're not so different. You know, it's like you guys, cows and oil, and we have like weed and movies.
Fake tits.
And I'm not going to be a fake ambassador. I'm going to come here. I'm going to I'm proud of. I'm very proud of being a Californian. It's California and Texas, though. Like, we could kick the whole nation's ass. We are the first and second in terms of gross national product or whatever you call it on the state level. Probably gross state product. It's California and then Texas. Like, we're basically tied. Each state could be a country unto itself. Texas's history, you know that phrase Six Flags over Texas? You know the significance of that?
I do not.
I do. I Wikipedia'd it.
Who's the governor?
Michael Dean Anderson.
Really?
Yeah.
MacGyver?
The brother of MacGyver. Just back me up, guys. I'll slip out the back and just pretend that you're governor tonight. It's the MacGyver's brother. Thank you. They're so good. They're such good people. who is the governor? What's his name?
Can't hear
you.
Governor Bloomberg? Rick Perry. Rick Perry, the guy with the game show hair.
Rick Perry.
The idiot.
He sounds sexy. I don't know. I believe he's an idiot because he's a governor. I don't know how. I don't know what geniuses have ever become a politician. You don't wake up in bed and go, "Well, my brain's so active, I should tell people what to do." It doesn't make any sense. If you're smart, you make shit, or jerk off and play video games. You don't.
Shut up, Ray.
The Ric Flair of jerking off and playing video games is back here.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about.
Six Flags over Texas refers to the state's history. It's an amazing history. They've been owned by it's a territory that's been owned by the French. For a brief period, the Spanish, then it was a territory of Mexico. Then, and I don't know what other state shares this. I really don't. There might be some. What? None. Became their own fucking republic. It's a sparse applause for that. Everyone else is like, I don't know. No, it's fucking cool. Come on. There's nothing like.
I don't think any citizens of a state are more proud of being from a state than Texans. I think there's more state pride here than anywhere else.
Like, it's just a cool concept. Like, I love the idea that we belong to a nation that was like, it's a federalized empire. At one point, we had to go door to door and go, you joining us? You joining us? And Texas was like, yeah, right. Yeah, a couple conditions, you know? You get a 50-year lease with an option to buy.
And and we have to be shaped like a ninja star.
That's fucking cool, too. It's the only state that if you threw it, it could take your eye out. Now, Florida would hit you. Even if it hit you right in the eye, it'd be like, it'd just bruise your eye. Texas would take your fucking eye right out. That's a good point. And there's a handle on it that you could throw it.
Yeah, you could
grab it. That little piece that should be Oklahoma, but it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's like a sword handle.
Yeah, you can cut a fucking like a weird cake with it and serve some shit on it.
And then you can walk around, stab people with it.
Yeah,
stab Mexico.
Yeah, then you can be like Steve McQueen in the fucking Dirty Dozen and like kill a guy and fucking awesome.
So they were their own republic, and then they made a limited agreement to become part of our little club. And then there was an uncomfortable period called the Civil War. We can talk about that later if you want. I'm not judging anyone. And then it should be seven flags though, shouldn't it? Because it's like you got what's that? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
U.S. twice.
U.S. twice. So you, but two different.
Oh,
so
that makes the six.
Two different star patterns.
But why not seven?
Because of the amount of roller coasters.
Because of the amount of roller coasters.
In case the mics don't pick up.
I find one difference between California and Texas. We have very different ideas about Mexican food. It's very, very, very different here. You get a chili relleno here, and there's like nacho sauce on it. It's very strange.
I like the place that we ate.
The place was fucked.
Taco Bugabaco.
Taco Cabana. Ray Pruitt, you sent us to Taco Cabana.
Nobody's saying that that's authentic cuisine. I'm not a foodie.
Are you booing me or are you booing Taco Cabana?
No.
You're booing Taco Cabana. Thank you. We walked in there. There were 17 people behind the counter, and there were 17 tables all covered in shit. And there was a gentleman behind the counter who was, he was 11 years old, I believe. And I walked up, I said, I'll have a burrito. And he's like,
A burrito? What?
So I said, I have a bean and cheese burrito. And so he gave me a bean burrito with the thing, with the little a plastic ramekin of cheese. I was like, presumably.
Plastic ramekin?
The little plastic thing. The little plastic cup.
There's a ramekin? Is that a word?
Yeah. A ramekin.
What's a ramekin?
It's like, it's usually like a little dish that you put butter in or a sauce or something
like
that.
A little 4 ounce.
Yeah, you get your ranch dressing and
ramekin. That's such a fucking ancient Greek name. It was like, expected to snatch me up with talons and take me to Mount Olympus.
Ramekin was the son of Agamemnon, who was cursed to dispense 3 ounces of things.
He stole Chipotle from the gods and gave it to man. In an easy to handle serving.
My bean and cheese burrito, ladies and gentlemen, was a bean burrito that was wrapped in foil that I had to take out of the foil, undo the tortilla, and then put cold cheese into it. There's no cheese in the fucking kitchen at Taco Cabana, and I had to make it myself. And then they give you a number, and I took my number to my table and was forgotten. I had to go up and get my own food. I don't get it. The place blows.
All right, fine. Well, you have their sympathy. They wanted to let you know.
Yeah. I'm vegetarian. I'm pretty sure those refried beans weren't, and I'm going to be shitting like a goose on the bus later on.
For my money, I'm on this special diet. I had a delicious, like, it took some doing to make them understand how to put it in the bowl, but I got a bunch of beef and chicken in a bowl with some beans, and I'm about to... I burp it out as I said. No. But it was good. It was on my diet. It was good. And we got out of there.
But we did stop off at our friend's advice to a bar called Buddy's Place, which I quite enjoyed.
That
place
was honky-tonk. Yeah. Jeff, I want to be part of the honky-tonk culture.
I can see that.
Yeah. And anybody go to this place, Buddy's? What was it? Those are our two friends back there.
The men's room is simply just a trough. There's no mirror. There's no sink. It's just a thing. It's a manger. You could feed an ox, or you could give birth to a Christ, or you could pee in it. And that's all there was in the bathroom.
I love it. the bartender was like everything was like, but not in a condescending way. It was like, and not in a colloquial. It was like, all I can drink here is a Michelob Ultra because I'm doing the low carb thing. I just vodka. So okay, I'll take Michelob Ultra. And she's like, okay, sweetie, all right, darling. Like everything was sweetie and darling in alternation. But it was really nice.
Yeah.
Like I'm not saying she's representative of the population. I know every town you go to, everyone wants to know, like, oh, we're like Logan's Run here. We're all from the future. I'm from Milwaukee. I'm embarrassed to be, you know, like associated with any random thing you might encounter there. Here's what you don't have in Los Angeles: bars with big long ass shuffleboard. Those things with you where you fucking
the shuffleboard is good.
That shit. We had that.
Yeah,
there
are a couple in L.A., but they're pretty few and far right, between.
Somebody followed us from L.A. just to call my shit out.
There's one where? There's one what?
In Houston.
I thought you said in L.A.
No,
they're all over the place. I'm saying they're not in L.A. They're really by and large.
There's one in Culver City, I think, but that's about it.
They're all over the place. They were in. I found one in Portland, but my uncle had one in his basement. It was like just that gritty sand shit you put on it. It's a fun game, man. I everyone should have that. Not to, you know, I don't want to get off. I don't want to do the shuffleboard show. I don't care. I'm not like a stockholder.
It's time that you showed them your new dance, the shuffleboard shuffle.
Should I do it? We rehearsed this for weeks.
Yeah.
Great. That was great, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah. I say give the people what they want, Dan.
Yeah.
Oh, your mama raps? Oh, there's going to be mama raps.
Right. But you notice I didn't come out like doing the mama thing because I was like, I'm getting in a rut. And I was like, what I learned in Phoenix, God bless them. They were fucking wonderful. All they did was support me. But I came out rapping about fucking your mama. And they're like, yeah, what? And it's like, I need to form a relationship with the audience everywhere I go. It was getting in the way. I talk about fucking your mama. And the biggest mistake I made, Jeff, getting suggestions about fucking people's mamas, like acting like it was some kind of weird improv game. Like, what's your name? That was the worst thing. My name's Steve. What's your favorite food? Ice cream sundaes. Ah, I fucked Steve's mama, and he was eating his favorite ice cream sundae, and I was fucking his mama, and she died of cancer. Did you say she died of cancer? Yeah. Okay. It was terrible. I felt awful. I'm not an improviser. I'm not like one of your little Who's Line friends, you know, your Who'sy Doodles. You know, there's a...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little Greg Proopsies and these Ryan Stilesies. Yeah. And they go like, oh, I'm going to do changing emotions and lift the bodies and do the arms experts. Like, I don't...
You used to be an improviser, though.
Yeah, but I was terrible at it, and then I became a writer, and then now I've ended up doing this because I can't, therapy doesn't work.
Is this therapy for you?
This is absolutely therapy.
Some guy, Andy and Tanil, these two people that live here, came back and interviewed Dan beforehand. And Andy really gave an awesome interview about Dan and asked Dan a question, why are you doing this tour? And there's no answer for that. You still don't know why you're doing this.
I still don't know why. I just know I need this and I love this. I have lots of stuff to talk about. I just checked my notepad. But also the thing I decided backstage, based on the way things have been progressing, like I want to bring Spencer up right away. Not to play D&D necessarily, but...
For those of you who do not know, Spencer, we are the only comedy tour that's ever traveled with our own Dungeon Master to play Dungeons & Dragons. If you know him, you already love him. If you do not know him, prepare to. Spencer Crittenden.
He's a national treasure.
And yes, he looks exactly like you thought he would.
Thank you for coming, Spencer.
You're welcome. I don't get it.
We're getting to know him. We didn't really know him.
We found out last night on stage. Dan and I realized last night in Phoenix that we really didn't know anything about Spencer. We knew where he lived and that he works in the back room of an Apple store. But now we learned that he has on both feet. What's it called?
Syndactyly.
He suffers from syndactylism. Is that what?
I don't suffer from it.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. He's blessed with a...
thank you.
He is given the rare gift of having two of his of his middle toes on each feet fused together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I imagine
ladies.
Helps...
Ladies.
Less toe jam. Just less stinky feet.
20% less.
Would that help you maybe in like if you were a swimmer, possibly? Like,
oh, yeah. I can swim circles around anybody.
We wanted to learn one new thing about you every night. If you have anything in the chamber, you can pop it out now, or you can just let it stew.
I'll let it
okay,
stew.
Okay, great. I just wanted him up there sitting there because
it feels safer. Like if I'm Ed McMahon, it's nice to have a Doc Severinsen sitting over there.
Yeah, I like being able to go. What do you think about that, Spencer?
Oh, that.
Yeah, I'm like. I'm invincible now.
Money in the bank. Money in the bank.
Can we talk about the? Because we went to this wonderful honky tonk and they had the shuffleboard thing and like. I want to talk about the Confederate flag thing. Well, I mean, you don't have to act like I farted.
This one had a. There was a Confederate flag with a lady on it. What did it say?
Rebel lady,
rebel chick.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's offensive to slaves and to women. So it's,
I don't know. I guess I remember one of these weird holdouts, like where I'm like I think that's fine. Like it doesn't. It's not like a flag that has like a black person with a line through it. It's not the same thing. Like I understand the association, but it's a very political thing. Like, that would be a bad thing, and we would all go, like, okay, we've moved beyond that. But we haven't moved beyond, like struggle and political, like Texas, of all places. It's like, it's the America of states. It was a colony, and it got, like, federalized. And it was like, I don't know. There's, like, when I see that flag, I go, like, I don't necessarily go, oh, that person, like, hates other people. We've all been trained to be ashamed of it, like it's a swastika or something. And I just don't think it's the same thing. I just wanted to mention it. I don't know how you guys feel about it as like progressive Southerners. I never talked to somebody from the South that like
is this the South? You don't think of yourself as a South, really, do you? You're Texas.
Right. I'm sorry. Forgive me, but there's this compass. I understand. I back you up 100%. I don't mean to offend you. I just meant as opposed to the top half of the fucking country.
Dan, did I ever tell the story on the podcast, or maybe if someone listens to it, did I ever tell the story about me being named Jeff Davis and me being in the South?
I don't know if you
did. I don't think so.
No. Yeah, my name is Jeff Davis, and my parents were Yankees. They were from, you know, like Nebraska and Ohio when they were little kids and moved west during the Dust Bowl, and never been to the South. My name's Jeffrey Davis. It's not Jefferson Davis. We're not Southerners. No one in my family's ever been lived in the South. But I was in somewhere in Louisiana once, and I went to a liquor store in the morning. I was walking from a girl's place to my hotel, and it was a huge long walk. Yeah, And it was a really long walk, but it was in a very black neighborhood, and I was the only white guy walking, like little girls and boys are going to school.
Walking.
Yeah. But I really looked like a gay vampire. Like I was just like super tall and skinny in a black suit, and super like pale and hungover. And I'm coming down the road, and little kids are crossing the street to go around me. And like I clearly was not up to any good there. And I go into a liquor store, and my cell phone was dead, and I wanted to make a call at a payphone or something like that. And I went into this liquor store, and there was this kind of like, you know, rednecky guy, like, you know, like Cajun dude behind the counter. And I said, do you have a phone? He's like, I got a payphone. And I said, well, can you break some money for the change? He's like, you got to buy something. So I go, okay, fine. So I got some trail mix and a Gatorade, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'll get a six pack of beer too. So I was back at the hotel. So I get the beer, and he goes, ID. And so I was like, oh, God, Jesus Christ. And so he gives me, so I get the change for the thing. I give him my ID and the money for the Gatorade and the beer and the trail mix. And he looks at the ID and puts it back on the counter and pushes the money, the ID, and all the goods back toward me. And he's like, thank you. I'm like, can I have it? And he's like, no, I said, thank you. I'm like, what?
good.
I said, yeah, I asked, can I have it? I don't know what's going on. He goes, good day. I'm like, do I get to, what's going on? And he goes, it's yours. You go. Take it. I'm like, here's the money. He's like, I don't want the money. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And he goes, I can't charge you Jeff Davis. And I went, oh, yeah, okay, well, I'm not even from the South, man. I'm Jeffrey Davis. My parents are even. He goes, even so. I go, but my parents didn't live in.
Even
my,
so.
My parents didn't live in the South. Goes, even so. I went, oh, ho, racist. And he goes, even so. For real. For no fucking joke. But he leaned in and got low and fucking had a microphone. And even so. And so I was like, okay. And I took the stuff. I'm like, I'm happy to profit off of your racism. And I took the shit and I walk out and I called the cab and the cab comes. And there's a cab driver and he's a Cajun fellow too. And I get in the cab and he turns the meter on. And I'm like, man, that was weird. I was in this liquor store and I bought the beer and he saw my ID and it said Jeff Davis. And the guy turns the meter off.
So... You're like some like really low stakes Harry Potter. It's like they take you to a magical land where you.
So tomorrow we're driving to Louisiana, and I'll tell you when I get out of the car. I'm like, well, if my name isn't Jeff Davis, because shit's free. Everything's just Jeff Davis Elementary School, Boulevard, Bank. It's just Jeff Davis everywhere.
I always get conflicted about this, like stuff like that. Like I hate me some government. I can't think of anything I hate more than people telling me what to do. So if there's a flag that represents the idea that once upon a time people didn't tell people what to do quite as much, because you're gonna erase it from history and you're gonna politicize it and overcharge it. Like that's why I'm always like it's not my right to like intrude upon that, but I feel like I, growing up in Wisconsin, I'm part of some weird like federal machine that like create. I have no idea how people feel, how they really feel, like what offends people. And I used to feel that way about guns too. Like that shit went crazy recently. But I always felt like, oh, I couldn't be more liberal. I'm left of liberal. I'm so left of liberal that I seem right winged to my liberal friends, because I'm so left that I just want to, burn down the White House and like build a statue of myself pissing.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Yo, burn down the White House. It's too white. Let's get some torches, burn it down tonight. We're gonna march up the avenue, that's what it's for. Knock on that motherfucking president's door and say, whose house is this, motherfucker? Yeah. Who, yeah? I don't know. That was the anarchist rap.
Yeah, I'm sure Mikhail Bakunin would have signed off on that one.
But I'd say like the gun thing is like I don't know. So like it
did
is.
You just fuck the White House's front door? What was that about?
For those in podcast land, I mimed humping the White House's front door
sensually.
Yeah.
That whole right to bear arms thing, like it seduces me. It's not, and this is the worst time of all to ever say that. That fucking guy, the thing happened, and then the guy said the stuff, and like, it's too politically charged. But I can't get past that concept of like, well, I don't know. There's weird shit about me that makes me go, yeah, but. I don't know. Who wants to be part of a machine? It's fucking dumb. I thought the whole point of this country, I thought the thing that made us sexy was that we didn't want to be part of a machine. I thought the reason we called it the United States was because it was like, you know, I don't know. It's too politically charged, though. It's they shove the shit down our throats where it's like, it's the idea of dichotomy, the idea of a bipartisan system, the idea that you're either with one side or the other. That's the greatest trick the devil ever played. Like the idea that you're not allowed to be a single human being and go like, yeah, but I want this and I want that. And then you just have people from both sides telling you, yeah, but whose side are you on? Like, because one of them's good, like Hitler. And it's just not true. But it's like I don't know. It makes me nervous, you know. Listen, you can hear the people eating their hot wings, like I could say anything. I could just, you know, light a fuse and blow something up.
I know you don't like political conversations, but I have a question for you. How do you feel about Obama's mother?
All right, well. I fucked Obama's mama in the city. I fucked Obama's mama, licked both her titties. I went to Obama, said, can I fuck your mama? He said, my name's Obama, it rhymes with mama, so I rode a llama. I fucked Obama up into... I don't know. Yeah, that's how I feel.
So you'd fuck her, too?
Yeah, I'd fuck her, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd hit that.
No, are any mamas safe?
No. Not for me. And I'm blessed to live in a country where it's okay to say that. Anyone whose mama I want to fuck, I could say, I want to fuck your mama. President Obama, are you listening? I would like to fuck your mama. And the reason I voted for him is because I think he would go, all right, well, I guess that's what he wants to do. As opposed to somebody who would go like, what did you say? I'm going to fucking arrest you and put you in Guantanamo.
Obama would say, I hope you fuck my mama.
Maybe. I don't know. Stimulate the package of the thing or whatever.
I hope you change my mama's pussy.
We're supposed to be the government. We're supposed to be...
You wouldn't fuck Spencer's mama, would you? You met her the other day. She's a very lovely woman.
I'd take a crack. Yo, Spencer, I saw your mama yesterday.
It was 2 days ago.
You see, you can't do it.
Yeah,
you
I looked him in the eye. Well, that's the important thing. Humanity. I think I'd fuck Obama's mama, but if he was here, I'd probably just shake his hand and say, thank you for running the country.
Yeah.
And I think he would thank me for doing a good show.
So you're just cowing to his power, to his status?
I don't know.
Status?
I think that then he'd go away and he'd say to somebody, "Go, like, I'd fuck that dude's mama."
Yeah, but you fuck members of our audience, mamas all the time. You're like, are you saying that they're lesser than Obama? That their mamas are more vulnerable?
When I rap about fucking your mama, I'm using the royal your mama. I don't mean... I know that many of your mamas are dead or dying. Yeah, you can hear the...
My mother died when I was 13. You want to fuck her?
I don't want to get specific. It's like the art form of wanting to fuck your mama. Your mama's bigger than any individual. What? Yes, I'm saying yes.
She's literally bigger than any individual.
Yes.
That's funny.
When your mama represents the collective, she represents the whole collective.
I don't want to say your mama is fat and important to me, but she's bigger than any individual. When your mama occupies my thoughts, she occupies my thoughts.
There are agrarian societies that would consider her in charge of the cycles of the moon. And people would be honored to nail her.
I think it was nice that Eric Idle came on our goodbye show in Los Angeles and sang about fucking your mama.
Did you guys hear that? That was amazing.
We wrote a Monty Python member, Eric, our buddy. We wrote him a song. That was like he's never gonna sing it, and it was just about fucking Dan's dad and nuzzling his nuts, and Dan and I were just in heaven. It was the greatest.
We wrote a song for a Monty Python guy.
Yeah,
like we wrote that song. I was like, well, "Fuck your mama and nuzzle his nuts," and then a guy from Monty Python sang it, and it was humble brag. All right. let me check my notepad. I just want to see. There was a couple of Texas things while we're here. That we can't talk about anywhere else. Do you think our angry bus driver is here in the audience?
I don't know. Morgan, is our driver here? Nope.
Okay, can we talk about our angry bus driver?
This guy's complicated.
We're on tour.
He has a sense of humor. I just don't know what it is yet.
I detect... Here's my... Like... I feel like at one point he was driving like Gallagher or Louis Anderson in a bus, and then he was like, he was full of joy and life, and it was like, hey, you like smashing watermelons? Maybe you should smash an orange. And Gallagher was like, keep driving, you fucking lackey piece of shit. And he looked forward, and then like an X-ray of his heart went clink. And then he became his current personality.
Well, I don't know. Apparently, on that bus, he's driven Slayer and Styx quite a bit, which I think is pretty cool.
And I think he,
And he had very nice things to say about both bands. Like, I think he's a.
He has this gruff, like he just like he says he does things like. Like we're all hanging out in the bus, and then it's driving, and then he appears from one of the bunks, and then comes up to the front, and he goes up to.
For a while, we had another driver because it was too long of a drive.
And then he goes like, "Hey guys, little bit of tour bus etiquette 101. If you're hanging out and someone's sleeping in the back, close the door between the things. Close the door." And the director of the movie said, "Hey, a little bit of humanity 101. If you hate your job, stop doing it." which was such a.
See, I feel weird talking about this because this guy's going to be behind the wheel for an entire tour around the country, including the Northeast during January.
Yeah, like, and he's going to, if he decides, he's going to go, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah, he's going to go Christopher Walken from Annie Hall on it. So it's like a,
but, you know, I don't know. Yeah, what do you want me to do?
I have to say, that aside, he keeps it between the lines and he hasn't scared me yet, which there's some scary drivers out there. So like, I've gone to sleep in that bunk and I've never felt like the telltale signs of a bad driver.
Yeah, all right. Well, a new update in the next city. We're forming relationships that we never knew. He looks exactly like Jeff Daniels and he's objectively ashamed of it.
To be ashamed of.
I know. That's what I told him.
Some Jeff Daniels hater over there.
Or maybe a guy who looks just like Jeff Daniels and he's like... with a pinch of Coulier, he looks
the
like...
The little Full House Dave Coulier in there as well.
I'm only putting this on record.
No, Dan, we're just fucking... Come on. Jason, get up here. No, I'm kidding. He's not here.
Oh, God damn it. Jeff, why don't you like the song Hey Ya by Outkast? When everyone else in the world loves it. Ambushed.
I don't like it. It's a bad song. No, you know, it's not a bad song.
It's a toe tapper.
No. There's a very good reason why I hate it. I don't like popular things to begin with. I kind of have a very uncharming, unnecessary aversion to popular things. Like, say what? I'm not saying it's a bad song. I think it does exactly what it ought to do. It's a pop song. It's a popular song. It should be. But we used to go to this one little bar restaurant in my neighborhood in Los Feliz. Shut the fuck up. I'm kidding. I'm a little on edge. Hey, I guess you got it. Oh, I think you pooped it. I pooped my trousers. No, I think I pooped it. It's not a good song. It's a shitty song. Here's my problem with that song. You couldn't go anywhere for 17 months without hearing that thing 15 times a day. You just like, I don't like over. Also, like, I would never walk on a plane and be carrying the Da Vinci Code. I would blow my brains out. I don't want to have a book and see 15 other people reading the same book. Does that make me cool? No. I just don't want to. I'm never going to read the Celestine Prophecy or any of that shit. I'm sure they're great books, but I just don't want to. Like, I it's not a sexy thing. I'm not boasting. I shouldn't be like this.
All right. I just wanted to jump. I made a list of stuff to talk about.
I think it was overplayed for me. I didn't need that much of it. Like,
I think it's a real toe tapper.
No, you don't.
You're
sucking ass.
No,
right now.
I'm not sucking ass. Did I ask them first if they like Outkast?
You goaded them.
You
massaged them.
Did we drive past a sign that said Austin Gateway to Outkast Lovers? I didn't know that they. I don't know how they feel. I know how the world feels because it's a fucking number one song forever. Like everyone. Yeah. Loves it, and like a lot of their stuff, and they're always having a great time. You can always hear them having a great time in their music. I fucking love Outkast.
I will take the Outkast Hey Ya song any day of the week over anything that Gwen Stefani or No Doubt sings. Though that's it.
Too particular. This guy's too particular. Anyways, moving on. Next topic.
Why am I under fire?
No. I wrote down a list because I was a little nervous. I wanted to be able to talk to them about stuff. That was like a. It was like, hey, yeah. I was like, I wanted to confront you about, hey, yeah, in front of people.
There's certain popular bands that people love that I hate, and it's I am convinced that if you give me 5 minutes, I can turn the most diehard Rush fan and convince them that they actually don't like Rush. Yeah.
All right. Who's the biggest Rush fan?
No.
What? You don't want the biggest Rush fan in the audience to come up here? Is there anybody?
No, because now it's been front loaded and they're
going. Oh, okay. Yeah. Nobody. See how respectful they are.
Also,
you
know what? You know what? I don't like Led Zeppelin.
See?
No, I hear more applause than booze. No, I think it's a great band. I love the band, but Robert Plant is a screechy ass. And when you see film of him playing, and he's swinging his like microphone around, and he's stuffing his pants with a sock, and he's, or maybe he's got a giant cock. If you have a giant cock and you're wearing those pants, then stop being so insecure and going yay, and looking over at Jimmy Page, who's doing nothing but standing there playing guitar and minding his business. And every time you see Robert Plant look over him, you can tell he hates him. He's jealous of the fact that he can do that.
All right, so you're because I was confused by your reaction. You're hardcore Zeppelin to the point where you can be anti Robert Plant, right? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. The band is great. It's the best band with the worst singer, I think. Not the worst singer.
All right. Well, this is great. Austin bringing people together. Fine. He was the hardest booer, but then.
I'm gonna pour this guy a Tito's. Can we get a glass up front for this guy?
All right. Moving on. Next item on my
docket. You thought I was going to die. I made friends.
No.
Fucking
no.
This guy and I are lifelong buddies now.
I wasn't setting you up to suffer anything. Right. I wanted to have a relationship with these guys.
I'm the Teflon comptroller.
Moving forward and doing that, Jeff and I have been friends for probably, I'll just round up, 15 years. Today... This morning, because we've never been on tour ever.
We had a special milestone moment together.
It's never come up. Why would it ever happen? In an IHOP bathroom, Jeff and I took our first shit together.
Not together.
Next to each other.
Different toilets.
I've known him forever. I came in the bathroom. I know he's in there. Like, I'm not going to ignore it. And I sit on the seat.
You came in and sang a little song like, pooping in an IHOP bathroom. Yeah. It's going to make your dreams come true.
Yeah, something like that.
It's probably hard to see, but these are Dan's feet under the toilet. I don't know if you can see.
Yeah, that's probably hard to see for some of you.
Can you see that at all? Here's the thing. I know you hate being told your shoes untied, bro. I'm not saying that, but your jeans hang down low, and when your jeans are long, you wear them long enough to be the little seam, the bead at the end kind of rips off. And so mostly that's just a piss mop that you've got. It's just hanging out in the kill zone underneath the toilet at an IHOP.
I guess I just love Texas. I trust their germs to be as big as everything else and not be able to get into my bloodstream.
What was it called? Fort Stockton, I believe we were in.
Fort Stockton IHOP?
Yeah.
Spencer.
Keep it down.
Sorry, you guys.
I heard his little plip-plops. That's all I wanted to say.
I take adorable shits. They're like unicorn tears. Sploosh.
It's amazing. Like, we're on the road. We're like, it's our only, our second show in, and like shit's going down. All right.
Literally, yeah.
I've lost track of time because we love these people so much.
That's 11:23.
What does that mean?
When did we go on? We went about like 10:40. Right. What? 10:40.
All right. Well, I don't know. I feel like we need that audience participation level of our show. Like I don't want to force it. I don't want to say, who's allergic to vanilla? I am. Oh, let's do a rap about that. I learned my lesson. But I just want to feel, you know, like
last night we came up with there's a little kind of anthem that we, you know, we're trying to like write lyrics to.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay.
And we brought a woman up on stage and we like, she was like the Dido to Dan's Eminem, and she did like the sing-along hook to it.
Is there any I would limit it to young ladies unless they don't step forward. Is that sexist to limit it to the ladies?
Could be a guy, could be a girl.
I guess.
It's a very masculine stage right now, and if there is a woman that has
it. Does anybody feel like they can carry enough of a tune to do the Rihanna hook? Okay, that hand went up pretty emphatically. That's the one I saw. What is that? Come on up if you like.
Let's welcome her to the stage.
What's your name, young lady?
Jen Brown.
Jen Brown. All right. Jen Brown. Her name rhymes with Harmontown. So did you listen to the last podcast when we were in Phoenix?
I missed the last one.
Okay. Well, we came up with this refrain.
It was released like a couple hours ago, I think.
Yeah. Do you want a seat or are you comfortable standing?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Jen, are you a singer? Is that what you do?
I not primarily, but I
use the microphone, Jen. You're a singer.
I not primarily, but
is that mic on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah.
All right. Is that the Zeppelin guy?
This guy's mercurial as shit.
Zeppelin guy may have to come up to
you. Razor's edge with this guy.
The refrain that we landed on in Phoenix was...
you want to sing it for her?
Yeah. I'll run it through. Come on down to Harmontown.
Turn your frown upside down.
Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Turn your frown upside down.
No. It's come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown. Okay. All right.
From the top.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown. Yo, Texas, I hope I don't wreck this. I'm trying to freestyle, coming off Phoenix, I feel frantic. I want to freestyle for you. I want to rap for you. Not do it like do. Feel it coming inside. I feel terrible. I'm doing a terrible job. I'm always terrible at rapping. It doesn't matter because we got this hook and that's the pancake batter. Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down. B is down. Yo. Come on down. Yo, my weakness to my knees. Struggling like a hero. Staring at the trees. Calling to the sky. Austin, please. Give me strength to rap, please. I'm a terrible rapper. Don't know what to do. All I can ever do is talk about my poo. All I want to do is hang out with everybody. But I can't do it because I feel like a piece of shit.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown.
It's yellow.
Come on down to Harmontown with Jim Brown. With Jen Brown in Harmontown. Jen Brown. Let me see you work that ass around. I said, let me see you work that little ass around. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy that liked Zeppelin was arguing with you. He started to jeer at you and hiss, started to boo. But then you said Robert Plant was a dick. And then you guys hugged and it kind of made me sick with jealousy. I'm your friend. I don't want this to be the end.
Yo, man, I'll stick to you. I'll stick with you through any kind of weather. You know, it was today at an IHOP. We both took a shit together. Yeah. You can't frown in Harmontown. Never frown when you hear my little diamond poopies plopping down.
Plip-plop, plip-plop,
plip-plop, plip-plop, hip-hop. It's hip-hop poopy. The flip-flop duties plopping. Yeah, they were little cuties.
Tutti frutti, fresh and fruity. Yeah. I took a shit with you.
Yeah.
Now we're together.
I had some pancakes. I had a waffle, too. Yeah.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down.
Yo!
Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
Yo,
again. We should do it again.
Down to Harmontown. Let's do a booth fade.
Let's get the shot where everyone's slow-mo.
Okay. So yeah. So pretend you're in slow-mo right now. So get for the camera. Where's the camera?
Everyone, reach for me like you want to touch me.
Yeah.
Like you wish you could.
But guys,
slow-mo. It's concert totally
organic.
Shot.
It's totally organic. Yeah, it's totally natural what's going on. Pretend what's happening is not really weird. Turn that frown upside down.
Every city I go to, it's the same. All the faces and names blend together, flame. The weariness of the road. Oh, it's so hard to be adored. Oh, how will I sustain it? What drug can take care of this? Oh, these people making me drown in my ego piss. They want to love me and I don't care them enough. But I want to do shit like snuff. The love, I guess. I'm a bad rapper. We made friends in the crapper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used a toilet tapper.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, that's cool.
All right.
Dan. Don't panic, man.
All right, keep it cool. Keep it cool.
Yo, yo. You're in a place where friends come together.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody cool.
Go with the flow.
Keep it cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Take it.
Yo, Spencer. What?
That was MC Spencer, everybody. Yeah.
All right, well, let's have a hand for...
Tim Brown!
Tim Brown. I thought that worked out very well.
Tim Brown.
All right, well let's play Dungeons and Dragons.
Let's
right?
do this.
All right.
We're gonna need Aaron to come up here then.
Hey. Can we bring Aaron McGaffey to the stage? Aaron McGaffey.
Oh shit! Wait. You know what? You know what? Jen gets. It's Jen Brown, right?
Jen Brown.
She gets a fucking limited edition.
Dan Harmon's
water damaged.
We have two books left. All the books were sold. So you get one. There's two water damaged Dan Harmons. He'll be perfect when you're dead.
Specially dropped in the bathtub for you. Twice as wide as a normal book. Thank you, Jen.
And Aaron
sweetie.
McGaffey takes the stage. Dan's girlfriend.
Really, really quick, can I premiere my new character, Sensitive T-Shirt Gun?
Yes, Sensitive T-Shirt Gun.
Sensitive T-Shirt Gun, all right.
Hey, everybody, who doesn't have enough money to buy a T-shirt? Who doesn't have a lot of money? All right. Hey, yeah, you look pretty poor. Oh, baby. God.
Wow.
Yeah, fun. Call your dreams.
Yeah. Sorry, stage left audience.
Sorry. I said premiere. It was the first time. Next time I'll have a stronger arm.
Aaron, you're 12 years younger than me. I'm not hip to the scene.
What?
Was that Jen Brown girl? Was she a manic pixie? Whatever you call it. I saw the short hair and the glasses. Was she?
We just did a 2-episode arc on my podcast about the manic pixie girl.
That's why I'm asking you.
I was in the back grabbing
t-shirts.
Her? No, I saw her. I
don't know what
about looks.
I don't know what any of these phrases
mean.
She
would definitely I think in a movie she would be cast as a manic pixie girl. She's very cute, looks very smart and creative. Sorry, she kicks your ass.
Go on.
Yeah. Very, very pretty and adorable and creative. So she may be cast as that.
I get confused. Okay, so the things I get confused about: manic pixie chick, Confederate flags, Second Amendment, and the word hipster. Somebody coughed the word hipster when we were talking before. You were talking about music or something. Someone went hipster. I never know what that means.
I think hipster means poser.
Hipster means like.
I think we're from LA and there's Silver Lake, which is like the what's the area in Brooklyn that all the hipsters live in? Williamsburg. It's like the Williamsburg of LA, and it's just a lot of dudes it's 90 degrees out, but they still have a beard and a scarf and a beret and like a.
It's about affectation. It's about somebody who puts too much attention into how they look.
I have a personality. I swear.
Ask me about it. My name is Sunday with 3 Y's. Because it's really Dave.
Look, that's a good friend of ours, and he's going to finish that screenplay.
All right, Spencer, do you want to recap where we were
I gotta
at?
I got to give you these first, probably.
All right, Spencer is dispensing.
That one's Dan's. That one's...
The character sheets. Last night in the tour bus, after playing playing D&D now for months with Spencer, I've never actually looked at my character sheet, and I got a tutorial from Spencer, and he explained all of this, all the information, and I'm very excited about
this. Yeah.
Take it away, Spencer.
When we last met, our heroes had just been looking skyward at Admiral Darkstar's Black Armada. Pouring through the rift, the ships launched out legions of black metallic cylinders before sailing westward. Realizing his camp may be in danger, Mango and his barbarians teleported swiftly away to warn the others. Left in the middle of a few of the mysterious cylinders, the party inspected them for a bit before they began making strange noise and hovering with menace. Not sure how to proceed, the heroes cast, shot, threw, and urinated their way to victory. As they stood among the battered constructs, they hoped that Butt's camp would be safe.
By the way, somebody tweeted that, like, I don't understand when you guys get in these fights, like, what are the stakes? How do I know, like, if you get 6 damage, what does that mean? I was like, yeah, you're right, good point. You should know, I have 24 hit points.
I have 40 hit points.
But right now, you have, like, 30 less than that, Jeff, and you have 10 less because you just got out of a fight last time.
Well, why didn't you write it down on my character sheet, Spencer?
Because that's your job.
Wait, but after every show, you come up and take my character sheet away from me and put it in a little trapper keeper, and I never get to see it again.
That's true.
We don't have pencils and erasers. You need an
assistant.
That's
not my fault.
All right. We need to get him a
Spencer, this is day 2. Why are we fighting? We have a whole tour to go.
Just calm down, everybody.
All right. So I don't have 40. I have what? 10?
Right now, you're at 11.
So how do you get your hit points back? Just rest and...
Well, last time we met, you actually put on a healing pendant in anticipation of healing.
My healing pendant was booting up, you said.
It's starting to, yeah. You can feel the rejuvenating forces flowing through you. Your hit points trickle upwards.
To how many?
You don't know. I'll tell you in the future. Okay. It's still going.
All right.
Looking around you, you realize that you're actually in the remains of some long-destroyed village. Only the foundations and the charred skeletal wooden frames of several buildings remain. You can tell that some time has passed between the raising of this town and now, because several green grass shoots and delicate tendrils of stems have begun overtaking the ashy, black structures. You wonder what wrought this devastation and why. Mulrain seems tense, worried, and has a faraway look in his eyes.
Yeah. She's a he.
Yeah, I keep forgetting. She's a dude. What's wrong, Mulrain? You seem tense.
With a faraway look in your eyes.
Gentlemen, comrades, I'm going to fashion some more arrows on the other side of the village. I know that you'll remain here. I'll be back in 10 shakes of a swallow's birthing.
That seems weird.
Yeah. He departs quickly.
She seems evasive.
He.
Yeah.
Guys, I get it. I look like a girl. By the way, merch is available after the show.
T-shirts, everything. We'll sign it. I'll sign everything.
Everything. That was the sound of Mulrain leaving. The two of you remain.
I detect magic around here.
You detect the faint traces of dangerous evocation magic, the most deadly and destructive force.
Uh-oh. So there's dangerous magic is lurking around the skeletal tendrils?
I'd say there's the echoes, maybe the remains of past cast magic.
That happened a long time ago. All right. Well, we should head to my dad's camp.
Yeah, because he's going there to make sure his camp is safe. We should come to his rescue. I know you and your dad have a troubled past.
Yeah.
But I'm a barbarian. He's a barbarian. You're part barbarian, more or less, aren't you?
I mean, genetically.
Kind of, right?
Yeah.
Which way did they go?
You don't know. They teleported.
Oh, right. They teleported. But we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. So
you also probably don't want to leave me.
No, we'll get you.
What are you doing?
She's carving arrows.
I don't know.
Stuff now.
We take off back to the Butchlot encampment.
All right, you two set off, but not before Sharpie trips over his own 2 feet and falls flat on his face. As you pick yourself up, you realize you didn't trip over your own 2 feet, but instead a large tattered tome.
A tome? A tattered tome?
That's a book.
Yeah, I know it's a book.
I'm helping everyone out. I'm just explaining.
What do you think I was doing in 89? Getting laid? I know what a tome is.
Pick it up.
I pick it up.
You pick it up.
I look at it.
You look at it. It says journal. The edges are burnt and blackened. The cover is worn. It seems strange that it survived this intense fire.
Hmm. Is it magical?
You've detected magic, and you didn't detect magic coming from it, but...
I open it.
That's not very polite. Somebody's journal, man.
The first entry reads, "Dead. All dead. My children. Gone. 5 bright souls snuffed out in an instant. No mother should be forced to endure such horror, let alone be forced to watch. Their screams, their heart-shattering screams, the crackling flames, the smell of burning flesh. I died 5 times that night, and yet I am still here. Even this place is gone.
We had a 16-hour bus ride from Phoenix, you guys. That's awesome.
I can't. The journal entry ends there.
Spencer, everybody. That's good stuff. Holy shit.
Do I leave?
Yeah.
Was it signed? No, you're staying. Was it signed? Is there a name?
There is no name.
Well, I think we should keep this and restore it to whoever...
It's a huge clue in the mystery of whether or not a bunch of people died here.
The book.
I think I solved the case.
It may have multiple pages.
Oh, I turned the page. Jesus.
If only I were stronger. If only I were male.
If only I were male.
The entry ends.
It's a woman.
Okay, I turn every page.
You read the whole thing.
Strong move. I found a way to carry on. I couldn't protect them because I was weak. I am weak. Curse this female form. Curse my cowardice, my inaccuracy. But that's over. All of it. I found an artifact. They say it's cursed, but I don't know why. Who wouldn't want this power? The entry ends. I'm assuming you're flipping through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next entry. The last entry. It worked. I can feel my old self drifting away. My memories seem fainter, weaker. The belt were just fine. Now no one can trace me back to my roots, my past. I thought I should change my name to something more masculine. To honor their spirits, I came up with Mulrain. Mul, from the Elvish word for one who survived great calamity. Rain, God's mercy, for the rain that should have come to save my children. My dear children. Make that noise again. The coming back noise.
Hello, gentlemen. You're reading?
Oh, yeah.
We found your book. That survived the fire somehow.
That was for no one's eyes but the forests.
Were you a dude or were you a lady?
Always been a woman, but took on a male name because she cursed her femininity because it didn't save her 5.
I had a belt that turned me into a man. I am currently a man. I was a woman who watched my children die in a fire.
So a belt made you a dude? It's like a strap on?
You're gonna question that. You fought a pig and
yes, I did proudly.
No, it was not a strap-on. It was a, and I don't know what that is. It was a magical.
A strap-on is a belt that has a dick on it. makes women feel like dudes. I think that's cool. If you're into that, you know, what happens in the forest?
Where has it happened, Quark?
Huh?
Where has it happened? I'm sure you're describing this because you're very familiar.
I'm just trying to get to the. I think it's great that you're a lady that likes to strap on a dick and fucking feel macho. I think it's there's nothing to be ashamed of.
My children died in a fire.
Maybe if you hadn't been busy fucking asses and stuff, you. been a better mother. You're fucking acting.
I pull Sharpie aside for an aside.
Well, that happens.
I play my lute in the background.
Hey,
you play decently.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about my friend.
It's fine. I wish he was more honest with himself about what he would like. Just to clarify, you read my journal entry. I'm embarrassed that it was left behind, but.
This was your home?
Yes, we're standing on the ashes of my
There's
children.
There's a lady who's sure of that glitter is his gold. And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
Sorry, guys, I'm playing my lute.
Do you know what happened here?
I know that there was a dark night. I had just turned off the candles. I had said goodnight to Toby, Melissa Fent.
How do you turn a candle off?
I'm having an aside. You blow it out. You blow it out.
Okay, sorry.
You blow it out.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
I'm sorry, my friend is. He and I take shits together.
That's not all they take together.
It's getting spicy.
I said goodnight to all of my children. I fell asleep. I awoke.
What were the... You were going to name your children in order?
Yes.
All five of them?
Yes. Toby.
Yeah.
Melissa Finch.
Okay.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Danielle.
Oh.
And Robert.
Oh.
And Robert. I turned off the candles and I felt a great heat. I say turned off because I'm very casual with candles because I don't know what a switch is. I felt a strong heat and I woke up to see my children. All of their heads were on fire. Their hair was on fire.
You should have turned them off.
And I...
He's so proud of himself.
So proud of himself. Jeff Davis hates Radiolab. I tried to turn them off. I tried so hard to turn them off,
Jesus.
But they stayed on, and they stayed on all the way down. Hey.
Quark.
I tried to turn myself on. I tried to set myself on fire,
oh,
but then I wouldn't light. I wouldn't light. Perhaps there's some magic there.
Like the lady in Game of Thrones? Like you can't be on fire? Is that...
Yes, yes, precisely. I may be part dragon. Right. But I would not set on fire. And I left the house. And I knew that I would be a terrible mother to another child. And I knew that an arrow would kill whatever was there, so I yes, what? Exactly. Yes. What? As you know, most enemies can be defeated by arrows, so I took up the sport of arrowing.
That's the half-elf word for it.
And I joined you.
So you don't know what did this to your peoples?
I don't.
Okay.
I saw you two traveling, and I hoped that I could latch on to you, and maybe you would help me. Also, I've fallen in love with you during this.
And I, you.
Ah.
I am so sorry about my gay friend. I love him, too. Deeply.
I want a whole lot of love. Yeah. I want a whole lot of love. Yeah.
And he loves Led Zeppelin.
Sharpie, let's join him. Please don't tell him what I said about falling in love with you. I would like to find a belt because I do still possess a sword between my legs, and I'd like to revert to my previous self. Adventure!
Hey, sorry guys, I was bored playing my lute. Sharpie, explain to me really quickly what just happened.
Quark, really, honestly, nothing has changed. I don't know what we took a long time.
I was sitting over there playing my lute for a while.
Well, I think you should be less mean to Mulbrain.
Okay. All right.
You know, she's a sensitive person.
Okay.
And this was her home. And yeah. Her children burnt to death.
Yeah, and I feel pretty bad about that. I came down pretty hard on her. Just fucking turning candles off and shit.
I'm a little overwhelmed by, like, I want to avenge the death of your children, and I want my dad to be safe. I
feel like the force that destroyed my children is the same that is after your dad.
It's a good chance, right?
Probably. Yeah.
By movie logic. Yeah. Like,
we're in the same area.
You don't see a lot of movies where it's like, oh, an octopus did this, but there's also a werewolf. Like, that, as cool as that would be.
It's probably Admiral Darkstar, I guess, right?
It's probably Spider-Man 3.
Oh!
A lot of SM3 advocates.
Jimmy Parker in the audience.
All right. I think we should proceed toward
the Butzalot encampment.
Yeah, where my dad.
That's what I said a long time ago. You guys,
from where? Right, Spencer. We know how to head there.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, we do that and end this segment.
It's over.
All right.
Spencer, everybody.
Dungeons and Dragons. How you like that, Austin? That shit was advanced! Aaron McGathy is Mulrain.
Spencer and I will be selling merch in the thing.
Yeah.
And really quick, this city's the best city in the world. It was so great. Thank you.
I have to agree.
Let's all get some queso after this.
I would call it the Paris of Texas, but there's some dipshit like Paris of Texas, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it really is the Paris of Texas. It's the San Francisco of not California's. I don't know. California and Texas, we should get along. We should form an alliance. Imagine if we stood up to the whole country and said, let us smoke weed and...
Don't mess with California either.
Right.
We'll find a happy medium on toast size.
Yeah.
Because really, we'll make a Nevada toast.
All your oil.
That'll be like a
all
perfect
your microchips,
size.
All of your movies, all of your television. Like we could take. You know, who needs the rest of the? Who needs these fuckers that we're going to next? I'll probably find a way to love them when we hit Nashville, you guys have been amazing. Should we? What do we do? Like, we're ready to find a conclusion.
You know, we could try, and this is you might not like it, but we have some music here created by Ryan Elder, who's our musical director, and there's a country song. Do you think maybe you could take what you've gleaned from this audience tonight? Because you guys gave us a pretty easy ride. You were working pretty hard last night in Phoenix, but this was a this was like being in a nice, comfy hammock.
And it's not like...
Which is not to say that the people in Phoenix made me work harder. I learned...
You made yourself work harder.
I cut my teeth in Phoenix. Yeah. I punished myself.
But it's not like you've gone through a big, like heroic journey tonight where you found out, like that you had to, you know, rise from ashes like a phoenix and then come back up and learn something. It was just nice and easy and fun all the way through. It's you know, doesn't make for a great heroic tale, you know.
Right.
Maybe how about this? Maybe sing like a kind of maybe like a little... sad song or something like that, maybe country style about you know, about having to leave this beautiful town.
We can try it.
All right, let's give it a whirl.
All right.
If not, we bring Jen Brown up and we sing the pee pee poo poo pee song.
Would you say? Yeah. Who knows what? We'll just dive into the audience and then run for the back door.
Yeah, Jen, stay loose. Here we go. The shuffleboard shuffle.
Texas, but I left my foot in Maine. I left my hand in Idaho, and it was never quite the same. Different parts of my body have been left in different states. It all depends on where I was and what I chose to eat. I had pancakes yesterday and took a poop with Jeff. I'm up here dancing round and now I'm out of breath. 2, 3, 4, hokey pokey in the back room and a hickey picky on the high ho and a hokey pokey. I don't know. Hokey pokey on the ding dong. I think that's traditional, right? That was.
I think that
hokey
was
pokey on the ding dong.
That was some Ernest Tubb shit going on. That was nice.
I think I'm welcome back here anytime.
Dan is going to be at the Broken Spoke on Thursday.
You guys have been unreasonably fantastic. I don't know what else we can possibly.
I say we bring Jen Brown back up and we sing a little bit of rap and we finish.
Fuck some mamas.
Fuck some mamas, says a man up front. What's your name, sir?
Mars?
Yeah. Holy shit. Do you want to fuck the God of War's mother right now?
Yeah, yeah.
I have a picture of
you. You have a picture of your mother? Take the picture of your mother out, and Dan's going to cut a hole in it and fuck it.
What?
A man dressed like the world's sexiest valet Parker.
Mars
has requested that Dan not only sing a rap about fucking his mother.
He's searching through his satchel for a photo of his mother.
This is the weirdest fetish I've ever come across.
Fuck my mother! Fuck my mother!
Literally, she's home. Door's open.
We gotta introduce him to Deluxe in Phoenix.
Yeah. Did you find it?
No.
You didn't bring it? Find that photo, man. Wait, did you bring a photo of your mother so that Dan would fuck it, or that you just carry a photo of your beloved mother that you
Myers,
like to have strangers fuck?
In lieu of your mom's photo, do you think you could you help me out up here? Do you want to?
Let's get Mars up on stage.
We gotta close the show. Don't pressure out. Don't be like me. But we also need manic pixie.
Yeah, Jen, get up here for the hook.
We need her to do the refrain. All right. Okay. Yeah. We remember the refrain, how it goes? Yeah. Yo.
Start out with some rapping, man.
Yeah. Yo. It's been a... I'm sorry, too. No, I'm sorry.
I like that she brought her Chablis up here. That's very nice.
Yo. It's been a good night. I'm flowing rap. I hope I don't do it. Mouse trap. I'm just rhyming words and I got shit flying out my mouth like projectile turds. I'm gonna throw it out to outer space. I hope everyone in Austin likes me regardless of my race. Because I'm white, I don't wanna do anything bad tonight. We've had such a good time with these folks, but every egg has a white and a little yolk. I don't know what I mean. I'm not fucking your peen, I'm sucking your teen a bean. Just let me rap some more. Coming around to another
another door. Gonna open it wide.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on.
Yeah, Mars, take it, Mars. Mars. Yeah, Mars.
All right.
Yeah. Yo. God of War.
Yeah.
Yo, he parked my car outside earlier.
Yo. Yo.
Yeah. Yeah, go Mars.
Yo.
Yo.
Yeah.
Feel it.
Yo.
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 Yo. Go.
Yo. Yo. Holy shit, I'm standing next to Dan Harmon.
Yo.
He wrote Community and that show's fucking charming.
Yo.
I'm on the mic and I'm standing on the stage. I'm in my life and I'm writing a fucking new page.
Yo.
I saw the D&D live with Spencer. And it was fucking awesome shit.
Yeah.
Come on down to Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown. Come on down to Harmontown.
Yo, Austin.
Turn that frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Is yellow, poop is brown. Turn it around upside down. Come on down to Harmontown.
What's your name?
Come on,
Stefan. How do you know when you're finished?
Down.
What's your name? My condolences. What's your name?
Right.
Where'd you get that sweater from a sweater sale? What's your name?
Cheyenne.
Yeah. How do you know when you're finished? What's your name?
Upside down.
Yeah. No, it's not.
He is yellow, poop is brown.
Well, what's your name?
Down.
Yeah, fuck you. Yo, I worked the crowd tonight.
Thank you so much, Austin, like a Texas. Champ. We love you.
Yo.
One more time for Aaron McGaffey, Spencer Crittenden,
Mars,
Jen Brown, Led Zeppelin Guy, Tito's Vodka. Fuck you, Kettle One.
Fuck you, Kettle One.
We love you.
You guys are amazing.
Good night.
Let's go have a drink together and,
Let's all go out to the bar and get drunk. Hey, Myers, here's a book. Good night.